So for the sake of our family from Spain, let me just explain to you a little bit of what I'm doing here. I'll probably forget and talk too fast, and I'm sorry about that, but we'll go with it anyway. But we like to teach through a book of the Bible at a time. And so this morning we're continuing on into the book of 2 Timothy. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, and this one he was written when he was in prison because of Jesus in his life, his faith. He was in prison in Rome under Nero, and he was very short time from dying. His head was cut off in Rome just after this book was written. So you got to imagine that now this is for the rest of everybody here too. There are some people that are visiting as well and new to us, that as he wrote this, he had in his mind this young disciple coming up to take that baton from him as we do in a race and keep running. Keep moving ahead, Timothy. It's worth it. So he's about to die and he knows that. And in this passage, he talks about that very thing. 2 Timothy, excuse me, we'll... Pardon me. We are in chapter 4. After the end of chapter 3, when he has talked about the Word of God and what it is, it's God-breathed. It's inspired by God for us. He goes into the next verse, I solemnly charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing, which is coming, and his kingdom, which is coming. Preach the word, Pastor Timothy. Preach this. Don't let up from preaching the word. Be ready. In season and out of season. When it's called for and appropriate and you plan on it and then on those surprises. Be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. The great patience part is where I want to start this morning. We've already gone through part of this. So now it's just refreshing it. I'll tell you the truth. When and I had somebody this in the last couple of weeks asked me, well, how can we pray for you? We pray for you often. How can we pray? Immediately, my answer is pray for wisdom. Because so often, I don't know what's coming up next, and boy, there's a surprise. I need wisdom. That wisdom doesn't always have patience with it, however. And the admonition here is with all patience and instruction. You've got to wait for people to come along. You lay a foundation and you start the building. We have several builders here this morning. You don't have instantly a building in 2 days. And so also with people, you lay the foundation. What do they need at the moment? With great patience and instruction. You're using the Word of God to do the work of God. So with great patience and instruction, for the time will come, and I want to address this one more time. The time will come for Timothy as well as for us when they will not put up with or endure sound doctrine, which is the word healthy, accurate doctrine. They don't want to hear that anymore. But wanting to have their ears tickled, funny language to me. You tickle my ear. Wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. It's metaphoric language telling us, making the choice, I don't want to hear strong, healthy teaching anymore. I prefer this. How am I going to get that? By gathering to those people and listening to them. So a warning is coming. He's already warned in the book, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And now again, be careful because there's going to be people that you are working with patience and instruction, that may come to that point where they turn away.
And unless you're a teacher of this Word of God, you don't understand the heartache that takes place right here in a pastor's heart, in a lover of God's heart. As somebody makes the choice to say, no, I would rather have this. Now, I've come to believe in this era where we are with the internet, of which is a helpful tool in its place, is also the most incredible resource for anything else but God's truth. At the push of a button, people can get so distracted with other things that are not true. And that is the context here. They will turn aside, and that internet becomes their church. Those writing those articles, and whatever they are, that becomes their pastor, their teacher. Oh, no, not me. I can think for myself. At a certain point, you don't. At a certain point, you become somebody mimicking that instead of thinking for yourself. Doing the investigation, is that true? What do I have to base it on? And God has given us this word, His authority, and it's proven out over the thousands of years that He's accurate, He's true. Now, we can get into a fun time of talking about why we think this is the Word of God and that isn't. Just for the sake of time right now, I want to move forward with that assumption in mind, because I know a lot of you in the room understand that and believe that this is the Word of God. But Timothy, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to come into those times where that person you put a lot of time into, a lot of energy into, are going to turn and go. Some of those will turn and bring those bad teachings back to the group. Please back up to chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 14 again, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle or argue about words or fight about words. It's useless. Leads to the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter. And now what I'm saying to you is this internet is full of that chatter that leads to nothing. Full of empty, vain, void chatter. And it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like that awful infection we call gangrene. It does destruction. It destroys. Watch out for it. And then he says, among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth. I want to point out to you, Paul has experienced what he's telling Timothy, you will experience. And these men were in ministry with him, apparently. These men claim to be lovers of God, and they have turned aside to other things. The very thing that he's warning Timothy, you're going to have it. You're going to have it, and it's going to break your heart. Continue on with the patience and the instruction. And the very next couple of verses, Paul has to say, I don't know if they ever knew the Lord or not. That Hymenaeus and Philetus. Timothy, you're going to go through the same experience. And by the way, that is one of the reasons that I've had seasoned pastors talk to me when I was a younger pastor, just kind of starting out. If you can do anything else but pastor, do it. They were trying to give me a warning. It's hard. And I've been given the advice, if you're going to be a pastor, you need rhinoceros skin. But I've come to realize that's not good advice. Because you can become so hard that you don't care anymore. You have to be vulnerable and willing to have that heartache when somebody turns away. Timothy, it's coming. It's coming. The time will come when they will not endure healthy doctrine, teaching, truth from God, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. They will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths, things that have been made up, fabricated. But you, be sober in all things. And again, let me mention here, when that word sober is used, our mind can often just quickly jump to no alcohol. But the context isn't about alcohol at all. He's not addressing that as an issue. And I'm not going to address it as an issue. Not right now. Be sober means think straight. Don't be swayed this way or that. And it can include alcohol. It can include mind-altering things. It can. But it's an admonition to think well, think straight. You, Timothy, don't get swayed to the right or to the left. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. That's the third time he's told Timothy to do that. In chapter 1, then again in chapter 2, I think it was, endure hardship. It's coming. It is because of persecution, but it also is because ministry is tough. Do the work of an evangelist. What's an evangelist?
Someone has good news.
It means someone who delivers the good news. I won't embarrass her again, but there's a certain person sitting in the front row whose name means that. Evangelion. Timothy, do that work. So you're looking at people with God's heart, God's love, sharing that with them. Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. A little bit more, fulfill your ministry. To fulfill something means you not just come to the end of it, but it's ripe. It's full. You can do no more. From there, Paul says, I've accomplished that. I'm in this dungeon, I'm in these bonds, in this chain, and I know my life is about to end. Watch what he says. Verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. That's kind of that final touch in Judaism as an offering comes before the Lord. And the time of my departure has come. The time of my departure. I looked up that word departure. In fact, I hadn't studied it out before. And I thought this morning, where does that, what Greek word does that come from? And it's a word that means to loose. Luo is the word. But the word ana is in front of it. Ana means up. It's like the time of my upward loosing has come. And I love that image. Because to die here is to be there. The time for my up loosing has come. I have fought the good fight. I want to talk about that phrase for just a minute because we use terminology like that. When we have boxing, fighting, somebody might lose and the encouragers will say, well, you put up a good fight. That is not what is meant here. The emphasis is on the word good, not on the word fight. I have fought the good fight. Not the fight that draws blood from someone and injures an opponent, a competitor, but doing what is right because God says it's right, doing what is good because God says it's good. I've come to the end of that fight. I have fought the good fight. And he's telling Timothy, you fight the good fight. You see that emphasis? It's on what is good by God's standard, which includes suffering, the difficulties that come because others don't agree with you in what is good. It's not about drawing swords. It is about living the Christian life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. I'd like to talk about the keeping of the faith a bit next week. I have finished the course. What image does that bring to your mind?
Race.
What's that?
Race.
A race?
Marathon.
A marathon? Not just one lap around, but...
Actually breaking through the tape at the end of the race.
Good. Finishing. Crossing that finish line. What other images? Go ahead.
It could be a course of instruction or study. Mm-hmm. If you're getting close to graduating, you have finished your course.
That's really important here. See, there's an implication that there was something laid out for him to do. It wasn't just him doing life and going until he dies, but God gave a task for him, and I'm finished. Cliff?
And laying block, I mean, each layer of block is a course of block.
Good. Okay. I have finished the course. Boy, we've used the word recently and in the past. It's what I wanted to tell our brother Dell when I went to see him at the hospital. And he was dead by the time I got there. Do you remember what I told you I planned to tell him? He has finished well. He has finished well. Didn't do so good in the in-between time. And God got his attention at the end. And I believe that parable that Jesus told, we removed from it one particular phrase. Maybe Jesus will say it to his followers. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul recognizes that he's there. There is no more. What is he thinking about? I'm sure Paul had some regrets. I'm certain, because he was human. Some things he should have done or shouldn't have done, but now there's no more time. There's no more energy. I know I'm going to die, but he's victorious. I have finished the course. God isn't weighing it out in the balance and said, well, you did pretty good. No, he says, I've done all I can do. Did he do everything well? Maybe not. But I'm finished. Now, Paul had the opportunity to know that. Most of us don't have the opportunity to know when our course is finished. Sometimes a person has that. You know, they know whether it's some disease or whatever, you know, that's, I'm winding down here. And so, like our brother Dell, we can say something to them about that by way of encouragement, but I think God does that. And I believe God has spoken that to Paul's heart. I do. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. That little phrase can go a number of places. And I want to walk on some thin ice next week and talk about some of those places. We're not going to take the time this morning because there's a number of scriptures to look at here. But what did he mean just initially? What is the reason that he put that in that letter to Timothy? He's told him already in the book to keep the faith. Remember Jesus. Don't get sidetracked. hold on to that belief in all confidence. And now he says, I've done that. There's a beauty in that. There is a beauty in that. How different than what some of us have experienced with people that we love, who rejected and rejected and rejected, or who seemed to know the Lord and walk with us for a little while and then turn aside and die. There's the heartbreak. But here it's like, you know what Paul's saying? I'm not sad to die, man. I'm done. I am finished. I am ready. Take me, Jesus. Timothy, follow my example. Yeah. And I believe that that is here for us to read and to apply in our life, so that we don't turn aside to those things that are tugging on our heart. We say, oh, I would rather have that tickling ears and accumulate that other stuff, whatever that other stuff may be. God has given us what He wants us to have. Keep the course and finish well. That's what I see. Any other comments or questions might have? Ken?
In 4:7, I don't know if it's significant or not, but it says that I've finished my course. The "my" indicates to me that we don't all have the same course.
Okay. Do you have King James?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe a difference slightly in the manuscripts, because mine is the course.
Okay.
It may be my course. Okay. Obviously, in the context, it's his course.
Yeah.
I think we can emphasize that. Somebody else?
It's yes. Italic in my King James, which it says that it wasn't there in the original translation. They had to add the "my" to make it work for English.
Exactly.
So it wasn't
Thank
even
you.
There.
Thank you. But application, right on.
Yeah.
Right on. What is laid out for me is different than is laid out for Sam. And on around the room. Thankfully. He's a pretty creative father. Good. Somebody else. Yes.
You know, in dog training, they have these obstacle courses. And it's not necessarily, it's timed, but that's not the main thing. You have a fence you have to go over. You have all these difficult obstacles that your dog has to be trained to go over and through and under. And, you know, we each, just like we have these obstacles. And it's not necessarily how fast you can do it, how well you can do it.
Nice. There are so many images in life
yes.
we can bring in. Yes?
The verse 7 has the word "I" in it several times. But I think the emphasis is not on "I," but on "good," on "course," "faith." In other words, the emphasis he's trying to point Timothy to is Christ. Not me. Don't look at me. Christ has a course for you. He has a fight for you. He has faith for you. It's all focused on Christ, I think. I get that impression just reading it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Along those lines, I don't know if it's just the difference between Greek and English, but the Young's literal translation has it, "The good strife I have striven, the course I have finished, the faith I have kept."
Okay, thank you. Nellie?
I have a blessing to share, if it's okay. Ken's dad was a good man all his life. My dad was an ornery old man a good part of his life. Yet, only weeks, 2 to 3 weeks before their death, they each accepted the Lord. My mother was ill and was done with this life. Ken's mother couldn't be by herself anymore and longed to go home. And only days before their death, each expressed a wish to be gone that they were done. They wanted to go home. And to have that kind of a blessing in your family is wonderful.
Amen. There's some people among our group and family here that are kind of longing to go home and be done. Miss Jerry reminds us of that every third week. I want to go home. I'm tired and hurting. Good. Anybody else?
So, Dan, in my English text, good does not modify the quality of my fight.
Correct.
But rather it modifies the worthwhileness of the fight itself. It's not testing me to see whether I have done well, but rather what I was engaged in was worth engaging.
Okay.
And now I have finished whatever it is I can do, however well I've done, but it was worth the fight itself.
Thank you. You reminded me of something there that I think is important to bring out. This word for good is not Agatha, though that's what her name means. It is a different word that means good as in beautiful. It's a different word. And I think it's worthy to look at that. There's that goodness that God has and has talked to us about. And it's worth it. Fight? Oh yeah. Keep pushing.